everyone. I'm Alexa Reeves, and I will be your witch and host for today's episode of Boxed Wine and Witchcraft. Today, we will be sipping a blended red, which fits perfectly with our topic, because we're going to talk about the different types of divination there are out there for all of you delightful little beginner witches trying to get your foothold in. I'm going to give you all a quick peek at the more common types of divination and fortune telling out there, with the hope that you'll find one that resonates with you and that you can find a form of divination that you can include in your practice. I'd like to remind everyone that your spirituality and religion is as unique as your fingerprint. What we say here is by no means the definitive rule on any topic, merely a jumping off point for you to begin your own exploration into the amazing and complex world around you. So, with air that inspires us, the earth that grounds us, fire that enlightens us, and water that moves us, let's review some of the more common and popular forms of divination out there. So, what is divination? According to good old Merriam-Webster Dictionary, divination is defined as the art or practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events, or discover hidden knowledge, usually by the interpretation of omens or by the aid of supernatural powers. It is also defined as unusual insight or intuitive perception. So, what does that mean for layman terms? Divination can literally be used for anything from personal insight to glimpses into what the future might hold, advice seeking, comfort, meditation. Witches use it for all of those things. Witches use all sorts of methods of divination to connect with their higher powers, receive messages from your higher power or guidance. You get glimpses or insights of like the immediate future, possible changes, your responses to those changes, or to just simply shift your paradigm enough that you can see a familiar situation in a brand new light. So here are some of the more common divination methods that are out there. There are some methods of divination that are better for other purposes, since not all forms of divination are created equal. So each method has its strengths and its weaknesses, kind of a good thing to use it for, versus kind of like what wouldn't really be applicable to that kind of divination. So here are the major forms as well as some like pros and cons. First and foremost, near and dear to my heart, are tarot cards. Tarot is my favorite form of divination, and it's a great connection with your intuition. So tarot cards include what's called reading the cards, where you as the practitioner pull cards from a shuffled deck, and you interpret those cards' meanings into a message or cohesive thought. Each card in the deck, there are 78, has a significance, has a specific meaning. And when those meanings are laid out together, they can form kind of a narrative or a kind of intertwined meaning, depending on the situation or the question that was asked. Tarot is an awesome tool for working on your own intuition and really listening to your own inner voice, because it's ideal for very specific kinds of questions. It's good for open-ended questions like, what can I do in the future to make sure I succeed? Or what things am I not paying attention to that I should be paying attention to? Kind of giving your higher power an avenue to reach down and talk to you through those cards, and then being able to interpret them either on a one-card spread, a three-card spread, or sometimes the whole deck. It just depends on the reader, and it just depends on the type of question you're asking. Oracle cards are very similar to tarot, in which they have art on them. It's a deck of cards. Oracle cards, as well as tarot, there's a deck for literally any topic you could be drawn to. Oracle cards are broader in the spectrum of things that they cover. They won't necessarily be beneficial for specific questions, but oracle cards are a great tool for divine guidance and sage wisdom to come through from your higher power. I've always looked at oracle cards almost as a way of, if your grandmother was a living deck of cards to offer you some like comfort, some cookies, and some good advice, this is what an oracle deck is for. They are a great mediumship for establishing a connection to your higher power. it's kind of opening like a radio channel between you and your higher power. So that way the messages on the cards can really be kind of detailed, but also they kind of overarch with the rest of the patterns that are ongoing in your life. Oracle cards come in a variety of styles and mythologies. I love oracle decks for personal work, for kind of personal meditation, introspection, but also just like a good overarching comfort level. Like sometimes it's nice to just have an oracle card draw with yourself and think, okay, what are some things I should be working on? They tend to be a little bit more softer, whereas tarot cards can be a little bit more direct and to the point. Lenormand cards, on the other hand, are related to tarot and oracle, but they differ because each deck comes with 36 cards that are in a set designed to be laid out in what's called a grand tableau. So a grand tableau is where you take all 36 cards of a Lenormand deck and you lay them out in four rows of eight cards and then the four remaining cards at the bottom. And then you read that entire board like a story. Each position that a card can land in is a specific house or a specific kind of idea. Like there's a house of the lady, a house of the book, a house of the fish. And each specific house has a specific meaning associated with it. So when you lay the grand tableau out, you typically start with a card that's connected to whatever matter you're asking or whatever thing you're concerned about. So a lot of times, for example, if you're doing it and you say, wow, I really want to worry about myself, you might start with the Lord card or the Lady card, the man or the woman card. Once you find that card in the whole tableau, you then interpret which house that card is sitting in and what that could possibly mean. And then whichever house that card is in, so say you have the Lady card and it lands in the house of the mountain. Then you go and find the mountain card somewhere in the spread and figure out which house did the mountain card land in. And you go through the entire spread and the entire deck following that fashion until you find yourself back at your original card. Lenormands are a great tool for a really broad-reaching timeline. They're a good opportunity to look at like a good 3 to 6 month spread and see how multiple aspects of your life can kind of tie into each other. Runestones or runes are awesome divination tools. They are a Nordic and Scandinavian based set of ancient symbols based on the alphabet system they used called the Futhark. The runes originated with the Allfather Odin hanging on the tree Yggdrasil for 9 days to learn the secret of the runes just for the sake of gaining new knowledge. So I've always liked the idea of runes because they literally came about because a god wanted more knowledge. And I think that's just a perfect idea of what divination is. It's our seeking of knowledge. It's our searching for what's out there. There are 24 stones, 25, which with an intentionally blank stone added, but there are 24 alphabet stones, and it's associated with certain phonetic sounds, corresponding animals, traditions, times, trees, and a lot of aspects of everyday life. So the idea is that you could either throw a set of runes on a mat or draw a few out of a bag, and you let those stones' meanings kind of knit together to inform what's going on in your life. Runes are awesome because they come in a multimedia form. They can be carved into stones, pieces of trees, wood, sewn into fabrics. It really just depends on the divination method that you prefer to work with and how you want those runes to be worked with you. They are awesome for both specific kinds of questions that you may have that you want insight for, but also kind of overarching kind of what's to come, what things should I be worried about here in the future. Runes are also one of my favorite because anytime I do anything sort of witchy with gods or goddesses, I usually lean towards the Scandinavian and Nordic pantheon. But runes are also just a great way to get associated with kind of touching on your intuition, but also understanding how one little symbol can have a huge meaning and have a lot of little different meanings attached to it. Speaking of throwing things, Throwing bones or throwing pieces are an age-old method of divination that has cropped up in almost all ancient civilizations. So typically, throwing sets or throwing bones are a collection of bones or sacred stones, pottery, clay, seashells, plant life, and sometimes even the entrails of living animals that are splayed out onto the ground and interpreted whatever message or image that shows up in the shape and the forms of those pieces falling together. So typically, this kind of oracle reading was reserved for a special member of the group or the society or the tribe who was thought to have a mystical connection with the gods. Divination through bone throwing or piece throwing can be achieved through several different methods. Most readers prefer to ethically source if they're going to use animal parts. You can either harvest them, what you find in the woods naturally, or if you want to work with local farmers or hunters to ensure that any part of animals or livestock that are being used to feed a family, that you can use the rest of the body parts to also incorporate into your magic practice. The great part about throwing bones and throwing pieces is that they can be a mix of miscellaneous odds and ends that have specific meaning to the practitioner, or they can just be the bones of that animal. This is a really raw and ancient form of divination, though, and it really relies on your connection with your intuition and you trusting whatever your intuition says that you're seeing there when you throw those pieces out. I Ching is an awesome Chinese divination method. It's based on a book of change, which is what the I Ching translates to, where an inquirer will throw three sacred coins, or any coins that you have, obviously. They can also be reeds or sticks that are painted on one side. But the idea is that the throws are interpreted as either heads or tails. And when you throw them in that toss, you get a specific line based on how many heads versus how many tails you have in that throw. So that creates a specific kind of pattern of either a solid line or a broken line, and you do that six different times. So you have a hexagram. And that hexagram is then referenced in the book as a specific element or a specific quality over or under or in concert with another element or quality. Each hexagram has its own unique and specific meaning and interpretation that's going to help the inquirer understand what specific messages mean or what direction their aid or hindrances might come from. I Ching readings are awesome for in-depth meditative sessions where you get to analyze a really deep cut of your own life. I usually recommend I Ching readings for, honestly, you could probably do a once a quarter and be satisfied with it because of how detailed and how in-depth those readings go for you. They're not necessarily the best for just everyday reading because of how detailed the hexagrams can get. But if you wanted to do a deep, deep dive into kind of what's going on around you and really take a hard look at a specific aspect, the I Ching hexagrams are an excellent method for that. Lastly, we're going to cover palmistry or chiromancy. It's the art or practice of reading the lines, the bumps, the planes, angles, swirls, and shapes of someone's hands and wrist and fingers, and how each specific part interacts with the others. So your palm ends up being a roadmap for a practitioner to read and to analyze what specific types of lines or patterns, what parts of your hands are linked together. You can map out the entire zodiac, you can map out the entire celestial body, as well as actual physical parts of your life into certain lines. I know we've all heard like our lifeline, our heart line. Palmistry is divided into active or dominant hands, which reveals opportunities, challenges for your present or future, whereas your non-dominant or inactive hand reflects the potential and long-term plans. Palmistry has surfaced several different times over the last centuries. It's kind of one of the older methods of divination, and it's awesome because it has a really rich history of popping up in more of the scientific-based communities. Aristotle referenced palmistry several times. And even Carl Jung did a big cross-section with the idea of chiromancy and how it relates to your path as a human and your psyche and what the divine can actually show you that is already etched into your body. Regardless of which method of divination speaks to you or interests you, the most important thing is that it helps you feel connected to your practice. It helps you feel connected to your magic. There are so many more methods of divination that I can probably do an entire second episode to cover them. But in the meantime, let us know on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, what your favorite method of divination is. Because honestly, they're all awesome and I love learning everybody's favorites. Till next time, guys, stay witchy, my dear little friends. Go find yourself the method of divination that speaks to you and have another glass of wine.